Today's title is We Are Awesome in Christ. We are awesome in Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, it's really easy to get stuck on all the things in the world, what's going on with our finances, what's going on with this flesh, what's going on in the politic arena. It's easy to get in all that. It don't make a hill of beans difference after the fire. I'm going to tell you, after the fire, it's really not going to matter that much. So we got to have our priorities set straight. We got to have our ducks in a row, and we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I'm going to open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for every opportunity we have to come to you, Lord. That we can just glorify you, Father. We can magnify you, Father. We can know you, Father. And that every good and perfect gift comes from you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. That he fulfilled the work of the cross, Lord. And that he rose from the dead. Above all principalities and powers, you seated him at your right hand, Lord. And Father, we're seated in him. I thank you for that, Lord. We praise you for that, Lord. We give you all the credit, all the glory. You deserve every bit of the praise for doing it. And we just receive the benefits of it. I thank you for that. I ask the revelation of that would be cemented in each one of our hearts and minds, that we can walk in the fullness of the anointing that abides within. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. I want to qualify this today before I get too far for the people that are listening to it in recorded format, okay? Because sometimes people will come and just pick a teaching and then listen to it out of the blue. And they don't know our foundation and what we all know, okay? So just to save them that, I'm going to say that we are talking to, in this time, people who are born again, who's been baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, delivered, and is seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. These are the people that we're talking about today. So if I say I mean emphatically that it's I with God together as one. Is that clear? So never let your mind go to, in this whole conversation today, that God's up there and I'm down here. Don't let it do it. We're completely talking about being one with Christ. In fact, let's just go there first. Let's let that be our first scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And it's around verse 17. I got it highlighted. That makes it easier. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Got it? And just to build on that, let's go to John chapter 17. Just to have two of these. John 17, let's read 21 and let's read 26. Are you with me? Thank you, Jesus. Verse 21 of John chapter 17. That they all may be one, that's you and I, may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. So he's saying that Jesus and the Father are one, and that we're in them, in there with them together. So the three of us are one together, right? That's what he's saying. We are one. So we're talking from that point of view. Go down to verse 26. use this as an anchor or a stake to nail into the ground. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. What's he saying right here? Let's just clarify it. And we're going to use these as stakes that hammer down the tent post. That with the same love that God loved Jesus, he loves you and me exactly with the same amount of love. Okay? God the Father does not think of you or love you any less at all than he does Jesus. In fact, it's so awesome that he has moved us to be one with him. Okay? So when you're one with somebody, we're just setting the groundwork here. How close is that? Pretty close. Pretty close. When you're one with somebody, nobody's getting in between the two of you to set one against the other. You know that? Nobody can get between you to set me against him or him against me, because we're one. We're in agreement. We're like-minded. Okay? We're on the same page. We are one together. So that's how we are with God also. And here's where we're going to work on today. And I'll use me as an example. When I came on leadership here at the church, Pastor Trey told me who I was here, what my duties were, and the leadership confirmed that, and I got my position here. And then we would have our first leadership meeting. So I was now one in the group, right? With the same amount of authority, my voice was an equal voice to the rest of the leadership's voice. However, because it was new to me, I was very demure in those meetings. Demure means very docile and quiet, very hold back, very down. Not everyone knows that word. I learned it off Total Recall, but anyway. You guys that laugh heard it on Total Recall too, huh? That's where I learned the word. Anyway. So, but after I had continued going to meetings, continued fellowshipping with everyone, continually we talked about things, my confidence as part of the group of one grew. Now, even though my voice to the group was just as valid, I hadn't grown in my heart to have that oneness yet, because I was unfamiliar with the way it worked. Does that make sense? We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As far as God's concerned and Jesus is concerned and the Holy Spirit is concerned, your voice is equal to theirs. Hoo-wee. However, you may not have the confidence that that's true because of unfamiliarity. Does that make sense? Because of not really knowing God yourself very much. I'm not saying you all don't. I'm talking to all the people in recording land. May not know God well enough to know what his posture really is towards what you say, who you are, right? So I want to let you know how awesome you are and I am in Christ. Is that good? All right, so let's look at a couple of verses. Before I start, being in this position that we're in as being seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers, being in that place, being above, you and I are in Christ, above every name that is named, seated in heavenly places. That's a pretty awesome place to be, isn't it? That is exceedingly abundantly above anything I ever could have thought to ask for. So far above. However, it's very easy for this life on the earth to come from a point of view of, from a human point of view. From, well, my body hurts. Well, my finances aren't where I'd like them to be. My relationships aren't where I want to be. And if that boss of mine, oh, you know? And it's easy for us to come to this. I want to hit some verses to where it sends us right back up to seated in heavenly places so we can start operating from a place of victory. And if we're already operating from a place of victory, it'll just charge us up even more to continue in that. Amen? So start with the book of Ephesians. Let's go right to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And Pastor Trey and I talked a little bit about this one day last week. And I asked him, can I share this? Okay, he doesn't know what I'm going to say, so sure. He probably should ask, what? Ephesians chapter 1. And I asked him, I go, do you believe what you preach? He goes, well, yeah, it's the word. I said, but you actually believe it? He goes, absolutely. I go, even this? Verse 4. Well, let me read 3 for you. Sorry, Bruce. Well, I'll just read it. Verse 3, it starts, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That happens to be where we're seated, right? So we're seated in Christ, and we have every heavenly blessing, every spiritual blessing, where we are seated in Christ, okay? So it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I said, do you believe that? Think about this. God says you're holy. The same holy as the Holy Spirit, because you're seated with the Holy Spirit in heavenly places. The same holy that's the Holy Spirit is you. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit in you, right? Remember I talked about we're one. We're never separating ourselves. Our whole line of thinking is being joined with God. So you're holy. Because he doesn't look at you from a fleshly point of view. You shouldn't look at you from a fleshly. He looks at you from seated right next to him. He sees you like this. Not like this. For those of you in recorded land, I just looked to the right where he's seated and then to the ground. Amen. Truthfully, right? He looks at me like this, face to face. He doesn't look down to see me or to you. And that you're blameless. God will never blame you and I for anything, ever. Even if you do what you consider is messing up, he will never blame you. Do we believe that? Seriously, we're setting the groundwork here. He will never, ever blame us. Let's add to that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. These two books kind of are symbiotic. They work together in a lot of ways. Symbiotic means symbiotic, I learned from Star Trek. Data was talking and said they had a symbiotic relationship. Okay, that's all I know. So that means like moss on the side of a tree, they work together. They get life from each other. Okay, symbiotic, they work together as one. All right, where did I say? Go Colossians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Verse 22. This is basically the same thing. It's just in another book. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, we just talked about that, and blameless, we just talked about that, and above reproach in his sight. We don't really use the word reproach too much anymore. But he's saying that no shame, no shame, no faithlessness. He will never, ever look at you in a shaming way or think of you that you would ever be embarrassed, ever. It does not enter him to treat us that way. We need to get that grounded for where we're going to go with this conversation later here today. Do you hear me? You're holy because the Holy Spirit and you are one. You'll never be blamed for anything ever again by God. And he'll never shame you in any way. He'll never embarrass you or bring reproach upon you. Never. Never. That's a really good place to be, you guys. What kind of relationship does that mean that we can have with God? A completely unfettered, unhindered, joyful, enthusiastic, happy relationship with our Heavenly Father. Are you with me on that? So, that's how he looks at you. So that begs me to ask this question. Is that how you look at you? Please don't raise your hands. The expressions tell everything. So, do I look at me that I'm absolutely blameless in my sight? I'm absolutely above ever being shamed or any reproach coming upon me. Do I see myself as pure as the Holy Spirit? Do I see myself that way? Do you see yourself that way? If you don't, then you're a Romans 8:1 kind of a person. Let's just go there real quick. Romans 8:1. A lot of these verses many of you will know right off the top of your heads, but I want you to look in Romans 8 for a minute here. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Is that what it says? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's above this word I got. I didn't realize I got so much of my vocabulary from movies. Incontestable. You cannot contest this. It's above scrutiny. It's above you judging it. It's, say that word now, incontestable, uncontestable, whatever. I shouldn't use big words I don't know the meaning of. Did I say it right? It's right in there somewhere. It's just something just like that. Anyway, it means it's completely above scrutiny. There's no condemnation in the light, in the Spirit. Absolutely none. So if there's anything in you that's judging you, that's disqualifying you, that's speaking in your ear, that may embarrass you, that's not in the Spirit. That's in the flesh. Totally. And that's when we need to make that channel selection. When I watch TV and it gets in the flesh, I go, oops, change channel. And if they get in the flesh, change the channel. I don't need to be looking at that stuff. They get in the flesh, change it. Got to let you know, there's not a lot of TV I can watch. I'm telling you. Soon as they created Homer Simpson, I knew TV was done. So, these are really awesome things. Let's look at a couple other ones here. Because this is really good. How about in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says. Let's see what that one is. I think it starts in verse 10, actually. Colossians 2. Sorry, it's Colossians 2. Let's start in verse 9. Ready? Colossians 2:9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 100% of God dwells in Jesus. That's pretty exciting. But then on top of that it says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. We're going to talk about that. I'm just not going to jump ahead to it. So in other words, that word complete means to be replete. Complete, replete. I learned that word off TV too, by the way. That word replete means to be absolutely full and overflowing. So perfectly full. Crammed full. So you, there's no unused space in you. God fills all in all in you and I. So let me ask you this question again that I asked Pastor Trey last week. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe the Bible? I mean, he really laid a great case for the word, the word, the word, the word, right? This word is saying that you are awesome in Christ. You're really awesome in God. Okay, that was a great place for it. Yeah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm kind of hoping this isn't like really hard to swallow, that you're free. You're good. Oh, God is so good to us. All right. So now, let's go back to Colossians 1 and look at verse 12. It's breaking right into the middle, but I have to go all the way up to 9 to start it. I'll just do 9, Bruce. Don't worry about it. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's just like it says in Ephesians. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being faithful, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That is a huge statement right there, in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. We didn't do it. We did not qualify because we did something to deserve it, because we earned it. He qualified us. Do you know, that's really important. He qualified us. That means no one else, no other person can disqualify us. That's huge. Nobody can make me unqualified. You can't do it. You cannot disqualify me because you don't like the clothes I'm wearing. You don't like the way I comb my hair. You don't like this wonderful fragrance of cologne that I'm wearing today. You know that? You cannot disqualify me. Absolutely not. I don't care. If you judge me, we'll go there in a minute. That's in Romans. We'll go over there in a minute. So in other words, he has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So let's talk for a minute. If I am holy, I'm not blamed for anything. I'm not disqualified in any way. Absolutely nothing can condemn me at all in the sight of God. I am completely free, and I've received my inheritance because I am in Christ. Not only that, but since I'm in Christ and he has been seated in heavenly places and I'm in there with him, far above all principalities and powers. He's any name that can be named, whatever, he's above it. That means you are too. Hallelujah! I'll say it if nobody else will. Hallelujah! Listen, this is really good news. So then let me just think. If Jesus has ascended on high and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and I'm seated there in him, I'm pretty awesome in Christ. You are too. You're victorious. In Christ, you've already won. Colossians 2:15 said he has disarmed principalities and powers, making an open show of them. Right? Totally. It goes so far. Can I even go that far? How much time have I got? I'll wait a little while to tell you that. This is pretty good, what I got written down here. So let me just say this to you. What we need to do is wake up to the fact that this is true. I can tell you that it's true, right? I can tell you all of this. It's true. You'll agree with me in your head right now. But when you wake up tomorrow morning and your head rises off the pillow, is it still true for you? It actually is, but will it be the reality that you walk in throughout the day? Because I am in charge of my personal reality. We share a reality that we're in agreement is true, but I have my own personal reality that I live in. The things I believe that are true, the words that come out of my heart, my dialogue in my heart, what I think about, how I name what's going on around me, how I value and esteem the things around me is my personal reality. How I think you think of me, how I think my life is my personal reality. And that's between me and Jesus Christ. And I'll give an account to him personally for the way I see things. Okay? We'll have a conversation about that. Well, it's more like, actually, he'll be there, I'll be there, and I'll know, and he'll know. And there won't be many words. Because in the light, it is what it is. It is what it is. And each one will receive his reward according to how you lived your personal reality on this earth. That is really good news. That is really, really good news. That means that if I love you, I get credit for that in heaven. That if I think good things about people, that is storing up in heaven. Because God is love and he is life. And the more that I align myself with his love and his life is the more I get to manifest his glory. This glory. Yeah, there you go, buddy. 10 seconds too soon, but glad you did it. Holy smokes. This is good news. That means that the glory that God has, Jesus even said in John chapter 17 that he has given us his glory, right? That means we get to walk in that full glory. In other words, I get to walk in the glory of God whether you like it or not. I get to be healed in my body whether you believe it's true or not. I get to walk with zero condemnation whether you think I should or not. I'm allowed to be full of joy all day long whether you like it or not. Isn't that great? You can hate my Pollyanna attitude. Pollyanna is a television show. Any of you that know what Pollyanna is? She played a little game. It was watch it. It's a Walt Disney movie. It's very good. It's back when they made good movies. Anyway, my Pollyanna attitude is I'm a cup half full kind of guy for the most part. And I want to believe the best in people. I want to think the best about people. I want to believe that everyone is awesome. And I want to give them every chance to be that awesome. So much so that I have to talk to other people because sometimes my wife would say that I'm not living in reality. Truthfully, she says I'm not living in reality. And I had to learn this. This was hard for me. I'm not kidding, right? I'm being very serious. I had to learn that there actually are evil people in the world. That even if you gave them the opportunity to be a blessing, they would choose hurt and destruction. They would just do that. And I always thought that if you give a person a chance, they'll shine brightly. You give them the opportunity, and they'll be a blessing. Well, that's not true with everybody. So, like Pollyanna, I was a little disturbed, but I worked through it, and I decided I like my way better. So I get to think good about people and not evil. And I'll tell you what, I had to work it out in my own heart. Okay, I have time for a slight deviation. I had to work it out in my own heart to where the life that I was living, if you were to videotape the words of exchange and the attitudes and the flare-ups, did not look like the kingdom of God in my life. But I learned to plant seeds. Words are seeds. Seeds grow. If you just water and stick them in dirt, give them some light, some warmth, they will grow. I just had to have the first to believe that seeds grow and words are seeds. And if I want certain things, I plant those seeds. And those seeds are invisible because they're my words. But when those invisible words get in the dirt, which is my flesh, I'm not planting them in you. I can only plant them in me because I stand alone before the Lord. So I'm planting them in my flesh so that my personal reality will be what I want it to be. So I would speak those words out of my heart and on my inner dialogue of the harvest I wanted, which happened to be in a relationship where it was bad on the surface. But as I let those seeds grow from the invisible, they soon manifested in the visible, while I pulled weeds by not staying there, not meditating on that, not rehearsing it, not valuing it, insisting that it was going away, insisting that its days were over, insisting that it's a lie and it's not going any further than that moment, and forgiving it and releasing it, speaking more life, speaking more life, speaking more life, until my crop grew up big enough that it completely overshadowed the old, and there's no more sign of the old at all. And I deliberately created that intentionally on purpose, knowing that words are seeds and seeds grow. Are you with me? So, we all can do that. If we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, which we can go there, Romans chapter 8, verse 37, I believe it is, that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, right? And that we can't judge anybody because it was Christ who died. I think that's verse 34. It was Christ who died and rose also. So therefore, you can't judge me because it was Christ that died that qualified me and sat me there. You can't disqualify. You can't say I don't deserve to be there. In fact, a little testimony is that when I was working at Megan Housing Authority, that's Megan with a G, Megan. It's not. It's actually a C, but it sounds like a G when you say it. Anyway, Macon Housing Authority, I was working over there, and I was working with these people that were angry people, homeowners, mean people, poor people, hostile, abusive to their children, just lying and destructive. It was bad. And I was complaining to the Lord because I'd fix something and a week later they'd break it again, having a fit of anger or something. You know, they'd snatch the screen doors right off of the walls. I mean, it was very difficult on me being the guy that fixed everything. And here's what the Lord said to me, which goes along with what I'm talking about right now. He said, which one of these people is not allowed to sit next to you in my kingdom? Took the wind right out of my sail. Think of the worst person you know personally, the in-your-face person, not the Adolf Hitler, not that. The one that rakes you the wrong way. And they are just as entitled to sit in the kingdom of God as I am or you are. But we have to see them that way. They may not have chosen Christ yet. They may not have been reconciled back to God yet. But they have the ability to be. They have the potential to be. And if we will be the witness unto them of life and forgiveness and speaking life over them and encouraging, we could be the vessel that God uses to bring them into the kingdom of God. But in the meantime, we need to get our own thinking up and propagate that life. The word propagate I did not learn on television. I learned that one in school. We can propagate or continue to grow and perpetuate that life of God in us, so that when we can walk with a hop in our step, so that when we speak, life comes out of our mouths, but it takes us pressing in to go after it, right? Okay. Can I say it again? You are awesome in Christ. You are really awesome in Christ. That you are high and lifted up. Oh, you are exalted above every evil thing. You are exalted above everything in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? But we have to learn to operate from that place now. Now, here's the rub. The devil doesn't want you to actually walk it out. See, it's called an antichrist spirit. You're allowed to be kind. You're allowed to be generous. You're allowed to be healthy. You're allowed to go to church. You're even allowed to worship God. But you are not allowed to think that you are anointed like Jesus. You are not allowed to believe that you have been moved into the Trinity, into the Godhead, and that you are a co-heir seated with Christ. You are not allowed to believe that. Because if you actually believe that, then you're actually over all the demonic forces. You're actually over them, and they don't want to turn you loose. They really don't. And so I'm telling you very soberly, they do not want you to walk in that because they lose all of their power. Because here's the thing. Just because we can read the verse that he disarmed principalities and powers, that don't mean anything at all between you and the demonic forces until you exercise it. So Jesus, he knew, and Paul, they knew. But are they intimidated by you? Are they intimidated by me? You know that? That's what really matters. Do I stand up to sickness? Do I stand up to disease? Do I stand up to my body that doesn't do what I think it needs to be doing? No condemnation on anybody. I'm telling you, we're all in a growing time, all of us. We're all different people, start with different backgrounds. Donna did a teaching once, are we all equal? And the truth of the matter is we are not all born equal. That's just the facts. Some people are very privileged and have every asset in place for themselves. Others are born behind the eight ball, and still others are born even further back than that. So, and they have a lot to do to be able to believe God and walk in what God's given to us. So, but the thing is, everyone needs a Savior, and everyone can know God. Everyone can know God if you want to know him, by you pressing in to know him, by you believing what you read in the Bible and then administering it to yourself. Continually administering it to yourself like medicine, continually reading it to yourself, continually planting it in your heart, continually speaking it out of your mouth, continually resetting your mind and your focus of your attention, continually pressing in to walk in the fullness of God. I'm telling you what, that's up to each one of us. There's a lot of verses, I don't have time to go into them, I just don't want to keep you forever, but I've got a lot of verses about principalities and powers because I thought it was pretty interesting that Jesus is above every principality and power, every angel, and everything that is named, he's been moved above it, right? And in heavenly places, and we're seated in heavenly places, right? And there's lots of verses that talk about principalities and powers. And if you're anything like me, we have to do a little bit more exercising of who we are to actually walk free from those authorities. Okay? From all those authorities. Because like it says in Corinthians, that do you not know that you will judge the angels? You will judge the angels. Where's that at so you can put it up there? 1 Corinthians 6:3. We say this, but I promise you, many Christians just let that fall right to the ground. Because from where we stand today to that day, there's no continuity. It doesn't connect. It's not a reality in the way that we think about ourselves. It's like taboo in so many people's minds that that's even a possibility. And Paul's very clear. It says, do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? We are judging angels one day. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! That means we're really something. We're awesome in Christ. We really are. We're free from condemnation in Christ. We're free from guilt and shame in Christ. We're free from sickness and disease in Christ. We're free from being blamed by God for anything in Christ. We have eternal life in Christ, not in your flesh, in Christ. So it's up to you and I that since we're in the Spirit, like Galatians says, we have to walk in the Spirit. Since we live there, we need to walk there, right? And as we do that by speaking love to one another. We do that by encouraging one another. We do that by each joint supplying what it has to the rest of the group. That will build all of us up in the love of God. But you got to bring what you believe as far as you agree with the Bible. You bring that to the rest of us, the revelation you have on your freedom, on your anointing, on your relationship and how you know God, what he's shown you in your personal worship time, and the revelation that the rest of us can walk in, right? Doesn't it say that each one in Colossians brings a song, a hymn, a teaching, or is that Timothy? A teaching. Each one of us can bring something to the table. Amen? So I want to encourage you to get your little something-something together. I don't know. I heard it somewhere. I think it was off like a teeny bop television show, you know. A little something-something. I don't know what they were meaning when they were saying it, but I just used it in this context. Okay? But actually embarrassed me. So isn't that cool? So it's not about I need someone to agree with me in prayer because I'm under the devil's thumb. It is about body, you be whole in Jesus' name. Mind, you wake up and you be a bright flame. Wake up, mind. There's no disadvantage here. You are sharp and you are brilliant. And you know God personally. And know God. Do this. If you want to do something really exciting, do this Bible search. Knowing God or knowing Him, which is God. Some verses say knowing Him, like in Ephesians. Others say knowing God. Just look at how much the Bible tells us we have to actually know God. Not just read what it says about God and believe what we read. We got to actually know Him. That's a personal interaction with Him. The Holy Spirit, like Pastor Trey was talking about, He's in us and with us. We're one in the Godhead. We are co-heirs with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places. Therefore, we should kind of talk to the people on our left and on our right. You know? We shouldn't just sit there and not talk to the Father sitting right there, or the Holy Spirit who's sitting right here, or Jesus who's sitting right here. You know that? We need to really, let me just ask a question. Go ahead and raise your hands and embarrass yourself. I'm going to ask a question. So, and you can feel free to raise your hand if you'd like. Thank you. I acknowledge that hand. The Holy Spirit, getting to really know him as a person, how many are having a little trouble with that? You know, because I want to let you know that I've had a little bit of trouble with it in the past. Because how do you really get to know God? I mean, first of all, you read the Bible. And you pray in your heavenly language. And you sing songs to him and you make up new songs to him. And his presence inhabits our praises, right? So as we praise him, that presence that inhabits your praises is him. And as we acknowledge that, we can begin to have koinonia or communion or fellowship with him. And as we memorize that and nurture that and do it more often, because after all, it does say that he inhabits the praises of his people. Right? We agree with that. And doesn't it say that we need to rejoice always? Doesn't it? Without ceasing, we're supposed to give thanks. I mean, like, we're supposed to, like, be in it all the time. If we do that and get in that fellowship with him, then doesn't it say that he'll show us things that we did not know? But if we don't connect, don't set our attention, don't set our heart to that fellowship, I promise it'll drop down and the world will drop into first position and your mind will automatically go into whatever you've been filling it with throughout the day. Last little confession. Can I make a confession? I want to confess on camera. I confess that this is a test. I do experiments. I don't know about you guys, but I do experiments, getting into the presence of God, seeing God face to face, going into the kingdom of God. I do tests. I do little experiments because the Bible's true. So if I'm not getting results, I am the random variable, not God. I'm the variable. I'm being deceived. I think I know something, but it's not working, so I actually don't. I'm deceived, okay? And that's why a lot of people actually, I'll just give a little clue. There are people that are sick with things that say they're giving it their 100% and they're deceived. Because you got a belief in there that you're actually sick. I just want to say that. Going right along. Because you're looking at it from a fleshly point of view, not from seated in Christ, who you really are. You're not identifying with that as your reality. You're identifying with your flesh as your reality, desiring the things of God. Doesn't work. So here's my confession. I have been doing an experiment on where does my mind go if I'm not deliberately focusing it. If I'm not intentionally thinking on something, where does those little pictures in the background, what are they? Those little things that pop up and come forward in my mind and find myself thinking on those things. Here's what I've noticed. If I'm not in here and I'm on Facebook or YouTube or the television or reading another type of a book and I get immersed in it, immersed. Where did I learn that word? I think high school. Immersed in that one. Then those are the thoughts that I will think on. And here's how I noticed it. About a week ago, okay, I'm embarrassing myself. I was sitting out in my yard praising God, and all of a sudden my mind wandered to a television show that I was watching, and I started solving a problem on the television show. That's deceived. Because I naturally solve problems, I naturally think things through to come to a conclusion. That's what I do. It's how I operate. And I was solving a problem on a TV show, and I had to repent before God. Some of you say, that's silly. No, honestly, because I really realized that I was giving that my attention instead of the Holy Spirit and the person of God. And I have to watch myself, and the way I know is, what are the thoughts that just bubble up if I'm not got a rein on it? You know, what kind of just bubbles up in my mind and I start thinking about? That's where I've been putting my attention, because it's bubbling up from the inside. And I've had to spend the last couple of weeks sifting that stuff out and getting that stuff out and getting the Word of God. And here's what I've started doing. I've started creating problems that I had to solve out of the Bible. I had to find something that the Bible said, and I would have to apply it and solve that problem in my own heart to where I, here's my question. Do I believe that I'm absolutely blameless in the sight of God? I was raised being blamed for a lot of things. I had been blamed a lot in my life. And it was not the Holy Spirit. It was another person that was broken. And so that was been in my heart. So for me to not feel like I've done something wrong, if somebody calls my name, Pastor Trey loves, oh, I'm really getting vulnerable for the world here. He loves me. He's only done good things for me and said good things. But if he says, Robert, would you come into my office? I want to talk to you. Seriously, because of the way I was raised, now in my mind, I can say absolutely, oh, he loves me, there's no big deal. Guess what? Under here, it's going, heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie. What did I do now? Not because of him. Because of how the devil abused me when I was being raised. So I have to sit down, and I really got to take this Bible and go, do I actually believe that I'm blameless in the sight of God? That God will never think bad about me. He'll never blame me. He'll never be angry with me. He will never, ever, ever be upset with me. He only wants to bless me and to lavish his goodness upon me and give me good and gracious gifts. That's a little hard to swallow sometimes. That just shows me that a lot of my attention has still been in the flesh. And I just got to work on rooting that stuff out. Are you with me? So we'll raise a hallelujah, hallelujah. So here's what we do. I encourage you, you know, we talk about your personal worship with God. I really encourage you to appear in heaven before the Lord. I'm serious. That you appear in heaven before the Lord. In other words, whatever ground you're standing on, oh, this will preach. This will preach. Remember when Naaman, was that his name, who had the leprosy? Naaman, when he went to the prophet Elisha to get healed of leprosy. Remember that? And he had to dip in the water 7 times. You know what he did? He says, your God is the real God. He got 2 wheelbarrows full of dirt and took them home with him. That's huge. Most people just got, that is huge. He says he'll never make another offering to an idol ever again. You know what that means? He took the dirt from where God's man lived and took that dirt home and put that dirt on the ground, and he stood on that holy ground and did his offerings to God. Listen, that's huge. Really huge. 2 wheelbarrows full, 2 carts fulls. That's huge. You know what that means? That when I'm in my home or in my car, I try not to do it in my car anymore because I end up accelerating. It doesn't always work to my advantage. So I try to do it in a stable environment. And here's what I do. I worship and I praise the Lord until I appear in his presence. Until he can see me because of the glory gets his attention and the angelic host's attention, because my worship has created an atmosphere that looks just like heaven. Are you with me? I practice doing that. Pastor Trey, He doesn't know it. I look on the cameras when I haven't seen him in a few hours. He's in here with nobody else in here. And he's praying for us. And he's declaring. And he's rehearsing. And he's speaking. And he is glorifying God. And he does his spot right here. I watch him do it sometimes. You know that? The rubber meets the road. He lives what he talks about to us. I live what we talk about. I encourage you to worship God until you appear in his presence, and you and he will both know you're there. Are you with me? And then one day your eyes will follow, and you'll see in the eyes of your heart, you will have the wisdom and revelation to see him before you as you're doing that, because your inside person will become the outside person. Are you with me? I love you. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you that you made us awesome in your sight. You have really made us so free that it's almost too good to be true news, because it's so hard to even believe it personally, even though my brain can mimic the words. For the reality of this person to walk in the fullness of that, Lord, I still need help. I still need you quickening me, revealing to me, fellowshipping with me, and bringing me along, Lord, so that I can experience the height and the depth and the length and the width to know the love of God fully. And Father, I just pray for other people that can hear my voice right now. I pray the same for them, Lord, that we can all glory in your presence, worship in your presence, be so thankful and grateful in our hearts for where you've placed us and who you've made us to be, that the world can't touch us. Lord, I ask that our attention and our focus and our inner witness would day by day move us so that there's more of us in your kingdom of our reality that we walk in than on this earth. That eventually the day that that trumpet blows, it is no big deal for us to just let go completely and fully be with you, Lord, like Enoch and like Elijah. That we too can be fully in your embrace, Lord. And I just trust the love of God to bring us to this. And I ask that you would quicken people's minds and their hearts as to where our attention flows in a day, that we can get the foundation, the substance of who we are, be in your throne room first, Lord. And then from that place, fulfill the responsibilities of the day. I give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.